It occurred to me, as we were singing, that an experienced minister would probably not give you a new hymn on the day we spring forward into daylight savings time. But I'm not an experienced minister, so, and I'm worth every penny. When we first moved to Muncie, we rented a house on Ashland Avenue near the Ball State campus. It was close enough for me to walk to work at my office at Ball State, and so I did every morning. Now, my first few years at Ball State were stressful for reasons we need not go into right now. So my walks to and from work were a chance to settle down as I transitioned between home and work and back again. If you've walked that stretch of Ashland Avenue, you will know there is a massive old burr oak beside the street. It's easily over 100 years old. As I passed it, I often reached out to touch its ruffled bark. It had endured weather, insects, college students, and other travails. And it was something older, bigger, and in its own way, wiser than me. It occurs to me now that I was using that old oak as a power greater than myself. Somehow, walking along and seeing the entish old oak framed my day in calm. Now, my affection for something that makes a lot of acorns might suggest I'm nuts. Occasionally, you're laughing way too hard. Occasionally, I would muse on my little ritual, wondering if I was a little squirrely. My conclusion was that if I was squirrely, it was a good squirrely. And now, science says I'm normal. How do I know that? Well, I was surfing the web several weeks ago, and a story caught my eye. Some researchers reported on their effort to map what happens in the brain during a spiritual experience. The research effort was led by Lisa Miller of the Spirituality Mind-Body Institute at Columbia, joined by associates from the Schools of Medicine at Yale and McMaster. Their findings were published in a highly ranked journal, Cerebral Cortex. Light reading for a rainy day. The authors defined a spiritual experience as, quote, a perceived dissolution of the boundaries between self and other, and a sense of union with something larger than oneself. Earlier research indicated that the parietal cortex was the area of the brain most often implicated in spiritual phenomena. The parietal cortex, it's right in there somewhere, is involved in a great many aspects of brain functioning. In particular, it is part of the network that produces self-awareness and self-reference. Dr. Miller and her associates developed individualized scripts for each subject that were designed to invoke spiritual responses, stress responses, or neutral, relaxed responses. The researchers hypothesized that, okay, wake up for a second, behavioral and neural responses to individualized spiritual cues would differ from responses to stress and neutral, relaxing cues, with the spirituality condition being associated with higher self-reported spiritual feelings and decreased parietal activation. Everybody get that? Thank you, Dry Slate. No. In other words, the area of the brain associated with the sense of self should quiet down during spiritual experiences. To test the hypothesis, the researchers recruited 27 volunteers. For each subject, they prepared personalized guided imagery scripts based on the subject's own accounts, and that's key, their own accounts of spiritual stress and relaxed episodes in their lives. For the spiritual scripts, participants were given the following instructions. As you listen, feel free to recall your own experiences. So here's what they said. We would like you to describe a situation in which you felt a strong connection with a higher power or a spiritual presence. Spiritual states are those that, through a felt sense, connect you to something bigger than oneself, a oneness or strong force, which may be experienced as an energy, force, higher power, God, deity, or transcended figure, or consciousness. Such states may be experienced in places of worship, at home, in your daily life, or outdoors in nature. Choose a personal, lived situation that you directly experienced, whether others were present or not. Some common experiences of transcendent connection include a two-way relationship with a higher power, a felt sense of oneness in nature by the ocean or atop a mountain, being in a zone of intense physical activity, such as sports or yoga, sudden awareness, bodily felt connectivity or buoyancy, meditation, or prayer. These may be extremely vivid or intense experiences, or these experiences may filter into an ongoing feeling of transcendent connection or a daily way of being connected to something more. Now, based on the subject's responses, the researchers, as I said, developed a personalized script about their spiritual experiences. The researchers then used functional magnetic resonance imaging, or MRIs, to observe the subjects' brains as they were read their personal spiritual scripts. They were also read scripts based on stress and neutral states for comparison. The subjects' subjective reports indicated that they did feel more intense levels of spiritual connections following the spiritual scripts compared to the other scripts. The MRI results also showed differences in brain activity under the three conditions of spiritual, stress, and neutral experiences. As predicted, the findings indicated less parietal activity during the spiritual experiences. In other words, the brain acts differently when someone is undergoing a spiritual experience than at other times. Okay, now we're done with the article summary. So wake your neighbors, and we'll go on from here. I found this study fascinating. Perhaps you can draw some implications from it, or we can, that might give us something to think about. Now, I should note first that Dr. Miller and her associates are good, cautious researchers and are careful about generalizing their findings. We, on the other hand, are free to indulge in a little bit more in speculation. Let me begin by emphasizing that whatever conclusions we might draw from this research, it is clear that spiritual experiences may or may not involve some perception of God. The subjects themselves varied in their religious beliefs and in whether their experiences were associated with such perceptions. On the other hand, the findings suggest that spiritual experiences are real and normal. All the subjects were able to recount experiences in which they felt a connection to something bigger, and their MRIs indicated that these experiences produced similar variation in brain activity. Spiritual experiences, then, are not the products of mental illness, the effects of starvation, fever, traumatic brain injury, brainwashing, or other extraordinary circumstances. As the researchers say, the results suggest neural foundations for spiritual experiences across different traditions and practices. The normality of spiritual experiences suggests that they're a good thing, not to be dismissed as unfortunate appendices to what we hopefully term rational thought. For me, these experiences are a good thing, even when they're a little scary, because my sense of self often gets too big for its britches. Sometimes I think my parietal lobe is on steroids. Selfishness, self-importance, self-seeking, self-pity. Frankly, I could use a little ego deflation from time to time. I'm at my worst when it's all about me, and I'm at my best when it's about life, the universe, and everything. Perhaps we have more of these spiritual experiences than we realize. I know that I often fail to savor those times when I'm released from the bondage of self, and instead hurry on to the next thought, the next plan, the next emotion. Sometimes we not only forget to smell the roses, we forget to remember when we did, and sometimes I'm in a hurry to spin my wheels. Allow me to point out another particularly cool thing. The researchers were able to produce measurable spiritual experiences by reading the subjects' own accounts back to them. In hearing their own stories, the subjects were able to relive the experiences. I think this finding is important because it suggests we can invoke our memories of spiritual experiences as a way to calm the troubled waters. Perhaps there's another implication. Not only can we recall the spiritual brain when we hear our own stories, but that we can get some of that diminished sense of self when we hear the stories of others. We know that group activities such as drumming, singing, chanting, group meditation, and group prayer are associated with spiritual experience, so I don't think it is too far-fetched to suggest that simply listening lovingly to each other may also be a spiritual practice. So, how should our knowledge of the reality and universality of spiritual experiences guide us on our spiritual journeys? One way to achieve this sort of reduced sense of self is through meditation. The researchers cite other research that indicates that mindfulness meditation is also associated with brain activity similar to what they describe. I know that several of you, like me, meditate on a regular basis, and there are numerous resources available to help you if you wish to learn more about how meditation works. And believe me, it does work. Still, those times when myself is immersed in connection are most memorable when they involve connection with other people. In thinking back on those times when I have experienced a feeling of being intimately connected to others, one comes to mind because it involved you. You happened to me. I had what I've come to call a Thomas Merton experience. That's different from a Jimi Hendrix experience. Thomas Merton was a Trappist monk, scholar, teacher, and writer who helped bring an appreciation of Asian concepts of spirituality to the West. He describes a time when he was standing on a busy street corner in Louisville, Kentucky, and to quote him, "I was suddenly overwhelmed with the realization that I loved all those people, that they were mine and I theirs, that we could not be alien to one another even though we were total strangers. It was like waking from a dream of separateness, of spurious self-isolation in a special world, the world of renunciation and supposed holiness. This sense of liberation from an illusory difference was such a relief and such a joy to me that I almost laughed out loud. As if the sorrows and stupidities of the human condition could overwhelm me. Now I realize what we all are. And if only everybody could realize this, but it cannot be explained. There's no way of telling people that they are all walking around shining like the sun." Now, some of you know I recently served as president of this congregation. It was a pretty intense year. And sometimes the members and friends of this church, including me, expressed themselves with a great deal of energy and emotion. So one Sunday I came to church feeling a little fed up and a little sorry for myself. But then, like I said, you happened to me. And I had my Thomas Merton experience. Somewhere in there we sang one of my favorite hymns, "Gather the Spirit." You know, we just sang it. "Gather the Spirit, harvest the power, our separate fires will kindle one flame. Witness the mystery of this hour, our trials in this light appear all the same." Tears came to my eyes. Manly tears, of course. Tears came to my eyes as we sang "Gather the Spirit." I experienced a deep sense of connection and love for you all. I realized we are united by our love for our church and for each other. My focus changed from me to us. Now, this one is one of those spiritual experiences that stands out because it changed my story of who I am and who I belong to and who belongs to me. I went from the story of the poor, misunderstood man who single-handedly went forth to fix the church. You could cue the impossible dream there. No, that's all right. I went from that to simply one of you and blessed to be so. So recall those times that you felt connected to others, to nature, to some kind of power greater than yourself. Remember when you stopped to smell the roses. Notice when that happens and celebrate it. We can follow the advice of novelist and minister Frederick Buechner, who says, listen to your life. See it for the fathomless mystery that it is, in the boredom and pain of it, no less than in the excitement and gladness. Touch, taste, smell your way to the holy and hidden heart of it, because in the last analysis, all moments are key moments, and life itself is grace. I would add that more than listening to our lives, we must share them. I belong to fellowships, including this one, in which we tell each other our stories, what we used to be like, what happened, what we're like now. By listening to each other's lives, we learn to listen to our own. By telling our stories, we learn who we are. Telling our stories to each other without fear of condemnation teaches us to care for each other. Caring for each other teaches us to care for ourselves. When one of us shares their experience, strength, and hope, it is a gift that enriches us all. So listen to your life, tell it to me, listen to my life. This is sacred, life-saving work. We can do this work in many places. The youth of our church and the youth of outreach do this work. That's one reason that our youths walk around shining like the sun. Our church is striving to foster this work in connection groups. I'm a member of one such group, and I can tell you that our sharing has bound us closer together. But I've seen our stories burst forth in dinner discussion groups, body life dinners, the sharing of joys and sorrows, and even in business meetings. Some of us even tell a story simply by showing up against the doubts, the fears, the illness, the heartbreaks, the sorrow. We come here and share ourselves, knowing that in so doing, we heal ourselves and others. And some of us come bearing glad tidings of great joy, tidings of degrees earned, families reunited, new jobs, new children, new spouses. As Spider Robinson reminded us a long time ago, joy shared is doubled, pain shared is halved. So, be a little squirrely, like me. Listen to your life, own your story, share it with someone else. For if you do, you will change your brain. Give your parietal lobes a rest. You will open yourself to something bigger than you, and your sharing will open that door for others as well. Amen.